ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् 9th कैंटो चैप्टर 1 किंग सुद्युम्न बिकम्स अ वुमन टेक्स्ट 17 भगवन् किमिदं जातम् भगवन् किमिदं जातम् कर्म वो ब्रह्मवादिनां कर्म वो ब्रह्मवादिनां विपर्ययम् अहो कष्टम् विपर्ययमहो कष्टम् मैवं स्याद् ब्रह्मविक्रिया मैवं स्याद् ब्रह्मविक्रिया। Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, all of you are expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. How then has the result been opposite to the one desired? This is a matter for lamentation. There should not have been such a reversal of the results of the Vedic mantras. Purport. In this age, the performance of yajna has been forbidden because no one can properly chant the Vedic mantras. If Vedic mantras are chanted properly, the desire for which a sacrifice is performed must be successful. Therefore, the Hare Krishna chant is called the Mahamantra, the great exalted mantra above all other Vedic mantras. Because simply chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra brings so many beneficial effects. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhavamaha Davagni Nirvapanam Shreyaha Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadhu Jeevanam Anandam Budhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrata Swadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtana movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is a life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Therefore, the best performance of yajna given to us is the Sankirtana yajna. Yajnai Sankirtana prayai yajantihi sumedhasaha. Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Those who are intelligent take advantage of the greatest yajna in this age by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in congregation. When the Hare Krishna Mantra is chanted by many men together, the chanting is called Sankirtana. And as a result of such a yajna, there will be clouds in the sky. Yajnat bhavanti parjanyah. Yajnat bhavati parjanyah. In these days of drought, people can gain relief from scarcity of rain and food by the simple method of the Hare Krishna yajna. Indeed, this can relieve all of human society. Anant Nitai Prabhu should give this class. At present, there are droughts throughout Europe and America, and people are suffering. But if people take this Krishna consciousness movement seriously, if they stop their sinful activities and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, all their problems will be solved without difficulty. In other processes of yajna, there are difficulties because there are no learned scholars who can chant the mantras perfectly well. Nor is it possible to secure the ingredients to perform the yajna. Because human society is poverty-stricken and men are devoid of Vedic knowledge and the power to chant the Vedic mantras, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the only shelter. People should be intelligent enough to chant it. Yajnai sankirtana prayai yajantihi sumedhasah. Those whose brains are dull cannot understand this chanting, nor can they take to it. Swayambhu Manu, not Swayambhu, Vaivasvata Manu, invited Vasishtha Muni to perform a sacrifice so that he could get a son. As a responsible king, he was desirous that he leaves a legacy and also simultaneously somebody, succession. That's also part of a responsible leadership, that not only they take care very nicely, but make sure that a good legacy is left behind by their example and life and words, and a succession is left behind. Therefore, the kings would be very concerned that they have a qualified son. So Vasishtha Muni came there along with his assistants, and without knowledge of Vasishtha, the queen, during the time of chanting the mantras, separately told the hota, the person who offers, that you please chant so that I get a daughter. She had a great desire that she should get a daughter. And sure enough, when the right time came, everyone was chanting probably loudly, and in between, Ashwathama Hathova Narova Kunjarova, he chanted that mantra, and she got a daughter. So Vaivasvata Manu was happy because he was childless, and when he got a child, he was very happy, but not really happy, and not happy for long. Temporarily he was happy, but his main reason for calling Vasishtha Muni to perform the sacrifice was to get a son, successor. And he was shocked and surprised that person like Vasishtha, such a great exalted personality, has assured me, has given a word that you will get a son, and I see some other viparyaya, I see some other result. His words have been proven to be false. How can this be? He expresses why he is shocked and surprised. In that age, obviously that was not Kali Yuga. You are all self-controlled, well-balanced in mind, and aware of the absolute truth, and because of austerities and penances, you are completely cleansed of all material contamination. Your words, like those of the demigods, are never baffled. Then how is it possible that your determination has failed? So all the qualities are given. Why or whose words are perfectly true and never prove to be false? In fact, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada, this incident is, Narada is asking Brahma, I see there is no one above and beyond you in this creation. Are you the ultimate creator, proprietor, enjoyer? But I see you're always meditating. Whom are you meditating on? And then Lord Brahma explains, like a diamond which reflects the light of the sun and therefore becomes very effulgent. In and of itself, the diamond has no power to reflect unless light falls on it. Similarly, he says, I am like that piece of glass or piece of diamond which is reflecting the light of the sun of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. By myself, I have no power. Only by His empowerment am I able to create. Only by His empowerment is Lord Shiva able to destroy. Only by His own expansion, as Vishnu, He maintains everything. He is the cause of all causes. He says, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. These are His words. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So, after that explanation, he says a very beautiful verse. Lord Brahma is telling Narada, Nabharati Menga Mrishopalakshate Navaik Kwachinme Manaso Mrisha Gatihi Name Hrishikani Patanti Asatpathe Yanme Hridaut Kanchavata Dhrito Harihi. O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, with great zeal, whatever I say has never proved to be false. Nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. So boldly is telling, whatever I say has to come true. Why? Because I am speaking on behalf of the Lord. Now it is His responsibility to fulfill it. Because I am not repeating my words. If the CEO or the marketing director of a company tells the sales representative, you can give maximum 8% discount on this product. If you see, the person is well off, pay the full amount, but if he bargains, 8% discount you can give. Then the salesman goes and says, you know, somebody starts haggling, he says, okay, 8% discount. And then he comes to the company and the manager says, hey, 8% is too much. Why did you tell me? On your order, I have assured them. Now it is up to your responsibility to fulfill it. I didn't go even 8.5%. I stuck to my limits. Similarly, a pure representative of the Lord, when he repeats his words, his mind and his body are in full alignment in love with the Lord, and therefore every thought, every word and every action of His is perfect, especially of a liberated soul who has no other desire than the desire to fulfill Lord Krishna. Such a person becomes an instrument, nimitta matra bhava. he becomes a nimitta. So, because Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, he is the supreme absolute truth. Anyone who is in touch with supreme absolute truth, every word of his has to be supreme absolute truth. Because Krishna is, his words are infallible. And Krishna is in the womb of Mother Devaki. All the demigods come and pray, and the first word they use, Satyavratam, Satyaparam Trisatyam, Satyasya Yohanim Nihitam Chasatye, Satyasya Satyam, Vratasatya Nitram, Satyatmakam Tvam Sharanam Prapanna. Why are we surrendering to you, my Lord? Satyavratam. You are vow. When you make a vow, when you give a word, Satyavratam, you have given a vow. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya sadhishkatam dharmasa. We are sure, even though you are right under the nose of Kamsa, you are seemingly in an apparently helpless position. He has already killed 6 children. 7th has been aborted. The 8th is still in the womb. He may smash it to death. He may kill Devaki. We don't understand how things will happen, but we know one thing, Satyavratam, you will fulfill your vow. That is why we have full faith. We don't see with our eyes, charma chakshu. We see with jnana chakshu. You have promised. When you promise, Satyavratam. And Satyatmakam. Satchit Ananda. The Lord is Satchit Ananda. The Lord's body is eternal and full of truth. Chit, his words, his knowledge is eternal and his bliss is eternal. Unlike ours, conditioned souls, the body is temporary, full of misery, asat, achit. We create some knowledge and then 10 years later, so sorry, new discovery has been made. All the previous ones stands useless. Now, this is a new. Amendments. So many amendments to the laws. Krishna doesn't make amendment to Bhagavad Gita. Every 10 years, new version is released. 65th amendment to the 35th verse of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, 35th, isn't it? 34 is the last one, 9th. So, therefore, when Lord Brahma speaks, naturally, his words, because it's simply the deep realization, repeating the words of the Lord, repeating the supreme absolute truth as it is. And therefore, he can say with such power and conviction, even if it apparently seems totally contradictory to what our understanding in this world is. Therefore, the acharyas are generally misunderstood most of the times, invariably. Because they don't see things from their conditioned side. And in that same parampara, when the great souls whose body, whose words, whose mind is completely dedicated to the mission of the Lord, such a person, whatever he says, therefore such person's blessings are to be desired. When they give blessings, it is actually the Lord's blessings. It's actually the Lord's blessings. That is the reason why in Vedic culture, for any ceremony, they would call great souls to get their blessings, knowing fully well that we know for now sure that this project or this child or this event has been actually blessed by the Lord. And then whatever happens is perfectly the desire of the Lord, is the design of the Lord. Know for sure, no regrets and no, you know, confusion. Prabhupada writes the essence of this purport. Anyone, therefore, who is earnestly serious in heart and soul about being in intimate touch with the personality of Godhead in the relationship of transcendental loving service will always be infallible in words and action. The reason is that the Supreme Lord is absolute truth, and anything earnestly dovetailed with the absolute truth attains the same transcendental quality. On the other hand, any amount of mental speculation on the strength of material science and knowledge without any bona fide touch with the absolute truth is sure to be a mundane untruth and failure, simply due to not being in touch with the absolute truth. Such godless, unfaithful words and actions, however materially enriched, are never to be trusted. That is the purport of this important verse. And just listen to the last statement. A grain of devotion is more valuable than tons of faithlessness. If you put tons of faithlessness, all the opinion of all the great scientists, philosophers, so-called philosophers, so-called politicians, and then you put one grain of the words of an acharya or the Lord, the balance will naturally go heavy on the side of this grain of one word. Why? Because all of this is insignificant speculation. From a very, very tiny perspective in terms of time, what experience do we have in 100 years? First of all, first 20 years, we can't figure out things in life. And after 16 starts, real confusion. Who am I? What am I supposed to do? Should I rebel? Should I follow? Whom to surrender? Every year you realize, previous year, what my conclusion were all nonsense. Till the last day, and you say, Pura jeevan barbaad gaya. Kya soch raha tha? So many scientists have given so many different opinions. Everything is blowing away in the air of oblivion. Where do they stand? Unlike Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, tene Brahma hrida, ya adi kavi, Brahma. First, he heard from the Lord, then spoke the Vedas. And it's not that suddenly he just tuned in and everything just like Radio Mirchi came everything. No. First of all, he also couldn't figure out anything. Who am I? Where am I? What am I supposed to do? He just couldn't figure out anything. But because he was earnestly desiring to be an instrument of compassion of the Lord for the purpose of wanting to serve in some substantial way, in whatever insignificant way, the Lord revealed to him, purify your heart. Then you can tune in. So to tune in with the Lord, there is a payment. Then you are given access to that channel. And what is that payment? Tapa, tapa, tapa. You do tapasya. For 100 solid years of the demigod, celestial years, Lord Brahma purified his thoughts, purified his words, purified his actions, the senses. That's what he's telling. The Lord is telling, I mean, Lord Brahma is telling here, Yeah. Na Bharati. Bharati means speech. Na Bharati me anga mrisha upalakshate. Mrisha means false. Whatever comes out of my mouth has to be proved to be true. That's why even Prahlad Maharaj is telling about Lord Narsingadev. Because Prahlad spoke, yes, he's there in the pillar. The Lord had to prove it right. He had to come out of the pillar. Tvat Bhritya, his servant has spoken. Sometimes the Lord may not keep his word. Actually, apparently, it seems contradictory because the Lord sometimes apparently acts contradictory to his words. He told, I will never pick up any weapon in the battle of Kurukshetra. He picked it up. Apparently, it seems that he contradicted himself many times. But actually, therefore he says, Kaunteya pratijani name bhakta pranashati. This is the essence of my vow. All my vows is basically this. To protect my devotees, I will do anything. I'll break my vow. This is my vow. My vow is I'll break any other vow. Sarva dharman parityajya. Because you have sarva dharman parityajya. Mam ekam saranam raja. You surrender to me. Therefore, to protect you, I will go against all other words. Because this is the essence of the heart of the Lord. Therefore, so confidently Lord Brahma is telling, whatever I say has never proved to have been false. Next. Name kochin me navai kochin me manaso mrsha gati. Nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred. Why? Because savai mana krishna padaravindayo. Man mana. A devotee places his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. His mind cannot think of anything else. His mind is fully in tune with the Lord's mind. And then he says, Name hrishikani patanti asat pathe. Nor is the progress, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. It's very interesting that we are coming close to Janamashtami. Now, when Mother Earth was overburdened by the demoniac armies, too much burden on Mother Earth, she took the form of a cow, and along with the demigods, she went to Lord Brahma. Brahma said, it is beyond me. Let's go along with Lord Shiva, along with all the other demigods and powerful sages. They went to the shore of Kshirasagara. And there, the Lord was not visible. Therefore, he asked them, all of you, just stay here. And he went ahead and meditated. And it is described, he went into samadhi. That means tuning in with the Lord, completely focused in all earnestness. And then the Lord spoke in his heart. He could tune in. And the Lord spoke. Very soon I shall take birth in the Yadu dynasty. You request all the demigods to assist me in that pastime. Switch off. Then he turned. Now, Radio Goloka. I'm going to repeat the words as I heard it. Believe me, this has to prove true because I am repeating the words of Krishna as I have heard it. Therefore he said, all of you go and take birth in the Yadu dynasty. The Lord is going to come very soon as the eighth child of Devaki. Now the demigods also repeated it to Kamsa. Parampara, evam parampara. But they repeated it little early. Why? Because they were desperate. Kamsa was behaving so lovingly. My dear sister, let me hold the reins of your chariot and take you along with your husband to your... They were so eager to see the Lord. They said, Kamsa, you fool! Stop! What are you doing? Very soon, I mean, the eighth child, they didn't say girl. They didn't say boy. Otherwise, they say, what is this girl? There's a problem. Even Devata bhi aajkal jhoot bolne lage. The eighth child, eighth garbha, ashtamo garbha, will prove. Even a demon like Kamsa had so much faith. Immediately he said, abhi khatam kar do isko. Na rahega bans, na bajegi bansuri. Immediately wanted. He also had so much faith in the words of the demigods. Because the demigods' words, as it is described here by Vaivasvata Manu to Vasishtha, that the demigods' words, when they curse someone and when they give blessings to someone, it has to come. It has to come. No question. Therefore, suddenly these demons would fall at the feet of Kucha, curse Deriya, give me some solution now. Always we see, whenever such powerful people, when they curse, immediately the other person comes to, you know, they become sober. They're like, hey, what happened? I was so intoxicated. So they curse, their blessings, both are powerful. So, Kamsa had that faith. And therefore he wanted to actually kill. And now, very interesting, I'm coming back to the senses, therefore I started. Now, Vasudeva tried to pacify him, and he gave a word. I assure you that I will hand over all my children. As soon as they are born, I'll hand over all the children. Your problem is from the child, right? Not from her. Leave her. I give you my word. Even a demon like Kamsa had faith in the words of Vasudeva. He will live up to his word. That is a devotee. Yeah, I have given a word. Kim dussaham sadhu naam. I have given a word. How can I go against it? That's not a devotee at all. What to speak of our vows during initiation? In front of the Lord, in front of the devotees, in front of the fire, in front of spiritual master. Any inconvenience a devotee is ready to tolerate to keep up his vow. And therefore, we have to be very careful what we speak. Unlike Kamsa. When Kamsa spoke, my fear is only, the first child was born, Kirtiman. It is so painful. Vasudeva could have justified, Kamsa, I'll bring you the eighth child. He said, no, I have given him a promise. Devaki was saying, come on, forget, no, nothing doing. Kim dussaham nu sadhunam, Shukadeva Goswami says. What is inconvenient for a devotee to keep up that word? And therefore, he carried and actually handed over. See the integrity of the word of Vasudeva. Even though it was tremendously, knowing fully well what Kamsa would do, not once, six times in a row, knowing fully well that he's going to just take up with his 10,000, power of 10,000 elephants in each of his hands, he's going to smash this very, very fragile, delicate newborn onto the wall. Somebody would rather die than do this. Better to die myself. What to speak of continuing to produce children? That's another thing. Because he said, this is the service to the Lord, because the Lord is going to come as a sixth eighth child. Otherwise, who would keep on producing children knowing fully well what's their destination as soon as they are born? Which mother would be inspired to have a child in the first place? Simply as a tapasya, they did this. And as soon as they were taken, Vasudeva Kamsa said, no, my fear is only with each eye. Take him back. But Kamsa was, Vasudeva was going, but as he was near the door, he was just shaking his head in disbelief. Or he couldn't believe, not believe his words. How could he say this? But also disbelief. I can't believe in this. Why? It says, Nabhyanandata tadvakyam asataha avijitatmanaha. Na abhinandata. He didn't value the word. As much as Kamsa valued the words of Vasudev, Vasudev did not value the word of Kamsa. Why? Na abhyanandata. He didn't accept. Why? Tadvakyam asataha. Because he had no character. He had no integrity. He would say something and he would do something else. Asataha. And avijitatmanaha. No sense control. So a person who is asataha, sati. Sati means loyal. Totally chaste. Chaste to one's words, actions in alignment. So asata means unchaste. Unchaste to your words. Our Radha Govind Maharaj, he was giving a lecture. He said, Pahle ke log, jab kuch kahte hain, to wo patthar ke upar lakir hua karta tha. Dusre yugo mein. Aaj jo kahte hain, wo paani ke upar lakir hai. Even by the time the line is over, it's already rubbed off. Hey, just now you said, I didn't say. No, just now you said. I meant this. You have misunderstood me. What can I do? Therefore, bond paper, gazetted officer, signature, even amongst intimate family members, bond paper. Sign it. Can't trust. Why? Because we have no independence. Who is an independent person whose senses are under control? He's independent to serve. If you go catch hold of a servant who is already employed and say, serve me, I'm sold out to my master. Only whatever he says, I will do. I'm sold out to a master. A person who is sold out to a master has no independence. What can he assure? What can he say? What can he do? Similarly, all of us are godas. Godas. We are the servants of the senses. So even though we may say something, our senses demand something and then we forget what we have spoken. Tomorrow I will fast 24 hours. Full day. And then around 12 o'clock in the afternoon, hey. My Lord, I hope you understand my heart. I tried my best. Our senses can't take it. We are Kali Yuga, insignificant Kali Yuga creatures. We have no determination. No determination whatsoever. Because weak intelligence, weak mind, weak senses can't keep up. What to speak of keeping up the vows made for life. So, avijitatmanaha. You can't trust a person who can't trust his senses. If he can trust his senses, then you can trust him. Kamsa could trust Vasudev because Vasudev had his senses under control. Mahabhaga, therefore it is described. he was a Mahabhaga. His mind was under control. His senses were under control. And therefore, his intelligence was under control. Therefore, when he spoke, he lived up to it. Because he was Goswami. Only a Goswami can be Krishna Das. A Godas cannot be Krishna Das. Because both are calling. Whom will he go? Where will he go? The senses are calling. Come, come, come. Sleep, sleep, sleep. And Krishna is calling, get up, Mangalarti time. He will get up. That means he has 50% followed Krishna's. And then he will hit the alarm and go to sleep. I have satisfied both. It's not possible. You can't be Godas and Krishna Das. Can't serve two masters. You have to be a Goswami before becoming Krishna Das. If you have something, you can offer. If you don't have anything, what can you offer? We can offer our senses only we have under our control. So, what are the steps we have to take so that our words have some substance? It's very interesting. Rupa Goswami, when he writes a book for a sadhaka, essential instruction, the first instruction is Vacho Vegam. The first instruction, the first word is control your vega, the urge, and the urge to speak. So frivolous, mostly nonsense. Untruth, no substance, simply just croaking like a frog, inviting the snake of time to come and devour us. And all these discussions that go on throughout the world, because they are not connected with Krishna, a liberated soul sees that as a place of pilgrimage for the crows. So first thing he says is, actually, essentially the first verse says, first of all, control your words, control your body, tongue, belly and genitals, and control your mind, manovegam and krodhavegam. When you get something, you become attached. That is the nature of the mind. And when you don't get something, you become angry. That's the nature of the mind. Avirodha priti and virodha yukta krodha. The mind, when it gets what it wants, it becomes attached. When you don't get, you become angry. So attachment and anger are two sides of the same coin of uncontrolled mind. And then tongue, belly and genitals, all the senses are in one line. Basically, manasa, vacha, karmana. Such a person is called a sannyasi, Tridandi, Goswami. That doesn't mean he has to have a danda or have a dress. What it means is keeping the body, mind and words under control. Such a person can actually begin to practice devotional service. First of all, it is said. Why? Because where are these vegas coming from? Shaknoti hai vayas sodhum prak sharira vimokshanat. Kama krodha udbhavam vegam. One who is able to tolerate the urges of the body, mind and words arising from kama krodha udbhavam. Where are the urges coming from? The urge to speak, 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 go on speaking. Whether it is really truthful, whether it is really beneficial, whether it is really pleasing, yeah. Beneficial and pleasing. Socrates' formula. He also said, Socrates said, when a friend came, said, hey, you know what I heard about your friend? Wait. You have heard about him. Is it truthful? Are you 100% confirmed? No, I have just heard it. It's very hot. Hot gossip. Okay, triple test, triple filter test formula before you speak. Number one, is it really true? Have you confirmed it? Otherwise, don't speak. It is simply polluting the atmosphere. Second, is it pleasing? He said, what are you? You're talking about my friend. Is it very pleasing? Absolutely not pleasing. Otherwise, what is the fun? All right. Is it truly beneficial to me? Well, I don't think so much. He said, then better not speak. That's actually the tapasya for speech in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam. This is not Socrates' formula. Krishna has given 5,000 years ago. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat swadhyaya bhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. The austerity of speech. Actually, our speech, a fool is undetected, or a great soul is undetected till they open their mouth. Jad Bharat was undetected till he opened his mouth. He looked like a fool. Shukadev Goswami looked like a fool till he opened his mouth in the right assembly where it was needed. Similarly, all other fools, anything other than them, are basically, when they open their mouth, they simply expose themselves. It's like a jackal wearing the skin of a lion. We may pose all sorts of anything, but when we open our mouth, it is exposed. So, tapasya means, so speech indicates your nature of your mind. You just watch children, how they speak. Mama is so nice, this clip is so nice. I want this clip. Okay, well, before you give this clip, something else. I don't care about this. He says, what is this? And before you say, he's asking something else. What is that? So restless. Because they are speaking what's going on in their mind. Their mind is so restless, jumping like a monkey from here to here, to this topic to that topic. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nam Santi Sahasrasha. One topic to another. Just go. Sometimes we sit in the railway station, railway trains, you know. And sometimes I just take a piece of paper and note down what is the shifts of the topic that they make with it. Without their knowledge, I'm just, not that they're talking, they're talking amongst themselves. Mostly it revolves around politics and weather. And then their office. And even in that, mostly chastising some fellow. The boss or the subordinate. Most of it, 99% is like, I won't say 90% at least, are their miseries. Which, there is no conclusion after discussion. If there was some conclusion, okay, no conclusion. Simply, or reading newspapers. Or playing with that mobile, something with that mobile. Basically. It boils down to some of this, three, four, few categories. So much of time waste, agitating the mind basically. So a devotee, first of all, should become grave. And gravity of the mind is very subtle. So at least control your mouth first. That is why in this vipassana, you know this Buddhist thing, they first tell you, shut your mouth, that's all. For 10 days, don't speak. Then you realize, my God, so much filth is there in my mind. It's good actually. Sometimes you decide, mauna vrat. You will realize, my God. You want to say out so many things. You realize so urge of the mind to just release it. Pass stool through the mouth. Basically the mind passes stool through the mouth. That's all it is, simply stool. Like Radhanath Maharaj once said, especially criticizing devotees. He says, if you want, go and pass stool in the chaupati. Don't do it here. Don't sit here and pass stool in the temple. It's actually stool. Fill the stool. So, first thing to achieve gravity of the mind is anudvegakaram vakyam. Greatness of a personality is estimated by the ability to tolerate provoking situations. Provoking from inside or provoked from outside. It is so provoking and so tempting to get into a prajalpa group. So natural, so easy. And just go on speaking. It's actually subtle sense gratification. It's subtle sense gratification. Speaking untruth. Simply anything and everything. Nothing confirmed. Without any purpose. Prajalpo. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Atyahara Prayasha. Prajalpo. Jalpana. Jalpana. Jalpana is not bad. Prajalpa means talk. Talk is not bad. But most of the talk, unfortunately, is godless talk. Therefore, prajalpa is considered not very... So, anudvega karam vakyam. Udvega. Udvega means when you speak, you agitate someone else. One should never speak in an agitating way. Unless you are a guru and you truly, with the intention of shaking that person's illusion, like Dhritarashtra was told by Vidura. Vidura was harsh like a knife, piercing the heart of Dhritarashtra. But he was not speaking out of ridicule, not to ridicule Dhritarashtra. He was speaking out of genuine concern after a lifetime of investment. A lifetime of investment, he had the ability to withdraw. He could withdraw because he had deposited for his whole life with love in Dhritarashtra's life. A guru deposits, therefore, when he chastises, we can still swallow it and say, thank you, Guru, for your, you know, purification. This was a good sauce. But in Kali Yuga today, that is also too difficult to tolerate for people. They can't take it. Therefore, the guru has to say, very cleverly, little by little, socho, chahte ho to aisa karo. Maybe not, could be, think about it, I'll give you three options, pick up the paper, whatever you want. He has to also think twice before telling. So, anudvegakar, what to speak of us? How mindlessly we talk. Anudvegakaram vakyam and satyam. Confirm before we speak. Just like Prabhupada says, in a law court, whenever a lawyer says something, immediately he supports it by scriptural statements. It's a good habit. As soon as we speak, we should support it by scriptural statement. That means we have to study scriptures first. Otherwise, you should not speak at all. Because if you don't know scriptures, what will you speak? Satyam is contained in the scriptures. Therefore, it is so much necessary not only read, but to understand what to speak of, realizing it. That is the best. And you realize it when you understand and practice it. So, satyam, speaking the truth. Priyam, it should be palatable truth. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat, satyam apriyam. Priyam cha, na anritam bruyat, esha dharma sanatana. Satyam bruyat, you should speak the truth. But priyam bruyat, palatable truth. That means maturity. The maturity is not to speak. Even a fool can speak the truth. Immature people may speak the truth, but if it is not properly put according to time, place, circumstance, then you may create a more havoc than speaking truth. You will win the battle but lose the war. So, anudvegakaram satyam priyam. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat. Na bruyat, satyam, apriyam. But don't speak truth. Don't speak palatable untruth. Don't speak impalatable truth and don't speak palatable untruth. That means just to, everything is all right. Everything is not all right. I am okay, you are not okay, Prabhupada said. Oh, Krishna, 9:30. I think I should stop. I am speaking too much. This is called any more speaking will become extra speech. Because you should... eloquent speech means essential truth spoken concisely. But sometimes, this is also subtle sense gratification, speaking after time. So, anyway, I'll quickly try to summarize. I had another very nice point, but then lack of time. So, first do that. Then, gradually, make sure that not just negating the negative, but actually making it from neutral to positive. That means let me speak anudvega karam satyam, priya and hitam. Only speak that is beneficial. If it's not beneficial, don't speak about it. Even if it is truth. If it's not beneficial, don't speak. Satyam priya hitam. And swadhyaya abhyasanam. Always recite Vedic literature. Therefore learn all the bhajans. Therefore learn all the shlokas, ashtakam. This ashtakam, that dashakam, shatakam, everything. Wonderful, very nice. If you have nothing else to do, keep on chanting the holy name. Because if the word is coming out, gradually the mind, where the mind is, the words will go. But if mind is not there, at least start from, you know, upside down. Start from the words. Sometimes, you know, we are, it's like bathroom singers. They keep singing, not knowing which song they are singing. And suddenly they realize, oh, I'm singing this song. Doesn't matter. So similarly, chant something, some Gita shloka, and once in a way, meditate on what you're chanting. No problem. Begin like that. But make sure that anything that you sing should only be, you know, some nice bhajans. There are so many bhajans, so many wonderful shlokas to learn. Make it a point to simply memorize. Keep your mind absorbed in meditating on this. Such a wonderful absorption to control the mind. And then, automatically, if we practice like this, hopefully one day, the mind, the words, and the senses will come in alignment. And when we become more and more purified, then these words, not only will we be able to speak the truth, but actually live the truth. And not only will we be able to live the truth, to inspire others to live the truth to that extent. It will have power. The words will have potency. Because they are coming from the heart, it will appreciate, it will appeal to other person's heart. Now it doesn't appeal because it is coming from our head. It's more intellectual. It will titillate the intelligence of someone. Wow, what a connection. What a wonderful theme. What a flow of words, thoughts. But then it may not transform the heart. You may be impressed, but there is no impression left. But when we live what we are speaking, that means we better not speak what we can't live. Or in other words, keep on speaking and try to live what we are speaking. Then automatically we'll speak very little. Because we have to live up to whatever we speak. And automatically gravity will come. Gravity is opposite of frivolity. So, in this way actually, we build up. And then, like Prabhupada, if you see, amazing personality. 24 hours he was Krishna conscious. Even in his conversation, even in his, sometimes we have to plan to say something. You know, oh, this person may quote me later. So I have to think 10 times before, what should I say? Because he may quote me later. But if we find in the lives of great souls, spontaneously whatever they speak, they never thought about it, but it is spontaneous. And even that spontaneous is so much in alignment with the Vedic conclusion. Not only their words, not only their thoughts, but even their life, their whole action, their life itself. That is why dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Because these great souls have realized the truth and live according to the truth, mahajano yena gatah sapantha. Whatever they do, we can blindly follow in that footstep, knowing fully well that it is on the right track. So there is no conclusion. But the fact is, at least from Kamsa to Vasudev, it's a big range. Today we are like Kamsa. Because yeah, our senses are uncontrolled, mind is uncontrolled. From there we have to move gradually in between, and then gradually move towards Vasudev. Then Krishna will be born. Then Janmashtami will occur. Otherwise, it will remain a social festival once in a year. Otherwise, it's an everyday affair, automatically. Every moment-to-moment affair, Krishna will be reciprocating with us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Thai Gaur Premanandi.